Welcoming all of you to Bhakti Sangha conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Nitya Krishna Prabhuji on the call with us. Prabhuji is going to enlighten us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam 4.21.51. Hare Krishna Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much Prabhuji. Hare Krishna, Dandavat Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to Guru Maharaj. Thank you very much for giving us your very valuable time and association this morning and enlightening us on this topic. I hand over the call to you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, all Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis, Dandavat Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Dev. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskrita Naram Cheva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayamudiriye. Nashta prayashva badreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavate utama shloke bhaktir bhagavati naishtike. Hare Krishna, all assembled devotees, I beg the blessings of everyone so that we can have a nice discussion today on this most glorious Srimad Bhagavatam. Today we'll be reading from Canto 4, Chapter 21. Text number 51, and the title of the chapter is Instructions by Maharaj Prithu. Adya nastamasa paras tvayo pasaditaha prabho brahmyatam nastadristinam karma bhirdavi sammitai. Adya. Today, na, of us, tamasaha, of the darkness of material existence, para, the other side, tvaya, by you, upasadita, increased, prabho, O Lord, brahmyatam, who are wandering, nashta drishtinam, who have lost their goal of life, karma bihi, on account of past deeds, Deva Samyutai, arranged by superior authority. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The citizens continue, today you have opened our eyes and revealed how to cross to the other side of the ocean of darkness. By our past deeds and by the arrangement of superior authority, we are entangled in a network of fruitive activities and have lost sight of the destination of life. Thus, we have been wandering within the universe. Purport. In this verse, the words karma bir daivi samnikai are very significant. Due to the quality of our actions, we come to the association of the modes of material nature, and by superior arrangement, we are given a chance to enjoy the fruitive results of such activities in different types of bodies. In this way, having lost sight of their destination in life, all living entities are wandering in different species throughout the universe, sometimes getting birth in a lower species, sometimes existence in higher planetary systems. Thus, we are all wandering since time immemorial. It is by the grace of the Spiritual Master and the Supreme Personality of Godhead that we get the clue of devotional life, and thus progressive success in our life begins. Here, this is admitted by the citizens of King Prithu. In full consciousness, they admit the benefit they have derived from the activities of Maharaj Prithu. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Virati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Uta Padakamalam श्री गुरोन्वैषमांश श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सगना रघुनाथाम्बितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपदां सगना ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्ण करुणा सिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते ताप्त कांचन गौरंगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभिः च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण एवरीवन, सो थैंक यू अगेन फॉर दिस अपॉर्चुनिटी टू स्पीक ऑन दिस मोस्ट ग्लोरियस श्रीमद् भागवतम, द राइपेंड फ्रूट ऑफ ऑल वैदिक नॉलेज. Again, beg the blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis so that we can have a nice discussion today, discussing the commentary from our acharyas on this verse. So again, I'll just read the verse again. This is Canto 4, Chapter 21, Text 51, Instructions by Maharaj Prithu. The citizens continued, "Today you have opened our eyes and revealed how to cross to the other side of the ocean of darkness. By our past deeds and by the arrangement of superior authority, we are entangled in a network of fruitive activities and have lost sight of the destination of life. Thus, we have been wandering within the universe." So, Maharaj Prithu has been lovingly and very perfectly providing instructions to his citizens, and the great personalities have gathered to hear. And Maharaj Prithu was very interested in seeing the welfare and success of all of the citizens, and most importantly, guiding them in spiritual success and instructing them to take to the process of devotional service and emphasizing the importance of service to the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas. So in this section, the hearers of Maharaj Prithu's great instructions are expressing their gratitude and glorifying Prithu Maharaj. And we see this importance of gratitude in understanding who can help us and who has saved us from this ocean of darkness. So the citizens have acknowledged that it is his activities, his instructions, that have opened their eyes, and they're expressing their gratitude. So we'll discuss today three main points that Srila Prabhupada is presenting in this purport, and is described in this verse. The first is, you know, our wandering through this ocean of darkness. And then two, this importance of having our eyes opened to see the truth. And then three, we'll discuss some vivid examples of how the spiritual master opens one's eyes and ultimately bring us to this point of extreme gratitude for having achieved this great benediction of having come into contact with the spiritual master by the mercy of the Supreme Lord, so that one can see the truth. So the beginning here, Srila Prabhupada emphasizes the words karmarbir daiva stamnitai are very significant, that on the account of past deeds and arranged by superior authority, we have ended up in this ocean of darkness. So, you know, we know from from Bhagavad Gita in the 7th chapter, Krishna says, due to Icha and Dvesha, we have come to this material world. In the end, it was due to our desire. We are in control of our destiny here. But our control and our free will is very limited. And it emphasized here, you know, as arranged by superior authority, meaning Krishna and his material energy acting under the direction of the Supreme Lord. So now this superior arrangement, it doesn't, however, mean then that, wait a minute, I am destined to do X, I am under the control of this superior authority. We still have our very limited free will to express our desires. And based on that, Krishna sanctions and the material energies carry out. So based on our desires and qualifications, we're placed into various bodies, or as Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, the machines. Towards the end in chapter 18, he says, Ishvara sarva bhutanam riddesha arjuna tishtati brahmayam sarva bhutani yantra rudani mayaya. That the living entities are placed into these machines made of material energy. They are seated on a machine. And that living entity is certainly the jiva. And Srila Prabhupada comments in the purport here that the material nature, it fashions a particular type of body to a particular type of living entity so that they may work according to their past desires. So, and in the purport here, Srila Prabhupada is speaking about how one's desires to enjoy the fruits of results of sex activities leads to these different types of bodies. So we know from our scriptures that there are 8.4 million species of life. And we may wonder, why are there 8.4 million species of life? So many. Science has only identified, you know, some 1.5 million species. Of course, they are only looking, you know, in this planet Earth and not taking into consideration all the different species within the universe. But there are 8.4 million species of life, so why so much variety? Well, the variety is there to satisfy all the different types of desires that the living entity has to enjoy in this material world. There's virtually unlimited number of desires and varieties of desires. And so Krishna has arranged that there is a particular type of body to satisfy each type of desire. Right? There is a vehicle set up to enjoy according to that desire. And Srila Prabhupada, in that verse from Bhagavad Gita, he quotes to give this example how these bodies can dictate different types of enjoyment. He says, you know, a person in a high-speed car can go faster than somebody in a slow-speed car. Though the driver may be the same, the vehicle determines the speed in which one can move. Right? So the living entity may, the same living entity may move from body to body, but based on that type of body, it is able to perform and enjoy certain activities. Right? So, you know, like the body, you know, if you want to enjoy eating flesh, you can obtain a body of a lion. Or if you want to enjoy naked life, you can obtain the body of a tree. And so based on the so many different varieties of our desires to enjoy, Krishna has arranged so many varieties of species, each able to execute and deliver the desire, the specific desire that we expressed. And, you know, we may forget those desires, but the Supreme Lord sitting in our heart as Paramatma remembers those desires. And based on that, facilitates our body and also instigates then our desires to even act. So ultimately we see, you know, this verse that Krishna speaks in the Bhagavad Gita, it is expressing how limited our independence is. That we can basically just express desire, and after that we are forced into a body. We don't even get to pick it. It has happened based by this superior authority. So this is the situation and how long this has been going on, how long we've been moving from body to body, Srila Prabhupada says, since time immemorial. Another part, Srila Prabhupada says that, you know, we have traversed at least once all 8.4 million species of life. Meaning we have taken birth in every single living entity, every different species. And now, of course, we have come to this human form of life. Right? So, how to get out of this cycle? And how to get beyond this ocean of darkness? First and foremost, reaching the human form of life is very important. But reaching the human form of life is not sufficient if we do not live like a human, instead live to simply eat, sleep, mate, and defend, then we have not achieved the full purpose of this human form of life. And Srila Vyasadeva, you know, encourages us. Therefore, he says, Atato Brahma Jignasa. Therefore, having achieved this human form, we must inquire. And therefore, implying that we have worked very, very hard, having traversed all these different species of life, to now have and to exercise this ability to acquire. And of course, this human form of life, it's given a very nice metaphor for us to understand, you know, how to cross this ocean of darkness. An ocean, by definition, is very vast. We know by experience it's very difficult to cross the ocean. It takes great time, great skill, there's some danger involved. And so thus this material world is compared to an ocean of darkness. So not as the only is it an ocean, but it is also dark, where it is difficult to see. So but this human form of life is compared to a very capable boat. A boat that is capable of traversing the waves of this ocean, will not get tossed upside down, and capable of getting from one side to the other side, to cross through it. And this boat has a captain, and that captain is the spiritual master, the guru. And the winds, the favorable winds that push the boat, that allow it to ply through the water, are the shastra. Right? So the guru is driving the boat, steering the boat, on the basis of shastra. So it is not working independently. And if we position ourselves in this way, then we can cross over the ocean. And this is a very perfect metaphor for the mood of surrender. Right? This verse in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna spoke. He spoke just before telling Arjuna that you surrender. So this mood of surrender is very nicely shown in this metaphor of the boat, the captain, and the winds. Because in a boat, understanding we are this boat, we need someone to steer it. A boat doesn't decide where to go on its own. It doesn't go left, right, or straight on its own. It needs someone at the helm to steer the boat. And that captain, of course, in our metaphor is the spiritual master. So if we position ourselves in the mood of surrender, letting the spiritual master truly take control of our life, giving us instructions, making his instructions the life and soul of our activities, then we can actually cross over this ocean of darkness. And it takes this level of surrender, right? That we become exclusively dependent. The boat, again, has no self-thinking, no, you know, its own ideas. And the very qualified disciple, you know, approaches the spiritual master to captain its life in this way with complete and full surrender. Right? And, you know, sometimes, you know, in our mood, we approach the spiritual master, you know, with this idea, you know, to sanction our desires. Oh, you know, oh dear guru, I would like to do this. Is it okay? Or, you know, please bless me so that I can do X, Y, or Z. But actually, in this boat example, we see that, you know, we can actually give up full control and steering of our life to the capable spiritual master who is being guided by Shastra. And then one can stop this cycle of birth and death roaming through this, you know, ocean of darkness that's been happening since time immemorial. So we see, you know, kind of very nice example of this. And Srila Prabhupada gives another, you know, very nice quote on this human form of life being a boat. He says, just like a paper boat floating in water can be destroyed any moment, similarly, this human body can be destroyed any moment. However, if we take shelter of Krishna, we can go beyond this ocean of material existence. So Srila Prabhupada is guiding us that, yes, we have this very capable form, but think it like a paper boat. It can get destroyed at any moment. So we should cherish it and cherish the opportunity that we have very gratefully. And be aware that it's a tumultuous ride, but if we take shelter of Krishna, one can very easily cross beyond this ocean existence. So Rupa Goswami explains in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that, you know, to really surrender to Guru, one must be fully convinced of the futility of this material world, thoroughly convinced that there's nothing to gain from here, and equally convinced that only the spiritual master can guide one to success. So if we come to this point, then we can be like that boat in the hands of the captain. So I just wanted to share that as a, you know, a nice way for us to understand how the spiritual master can help us traverse this ocean and what mood we must bring about. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu talks about the mood of a disciple. I want to read from that a little bit later at the end of this discussion. So the hearers here from Prithumaraj are, again, are expressing their gratitude that Prithumaraj has opened their eyes. In ignorance, under the influence of Maya, you know, we lose sight of what is real and what is not. You know, lose even awareness that I have been, you know, struggling in this material world and birth after birth after birth. We have no idea. And we can compare this to, you know, imagine, you know, navigating a room that is pitch black and dark. You can't see anything. Where the furniture is, where the different tables are, where this obstacle might be. And you can't enjoy anything because you can't see. You're always fearful. Every step has the potential for some kind of danger. But if someone were to come and just turn on the lights, immediately everything becomes very perceptible. And then you can navigate it very nicely. Okay, so this is, you know, the spiritual master. We say, Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuru Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah. Like, we're offering our obeisances to the spiritual master who has opened their eyes with the torch of knowledge. Right? Like turning on the light in the room so we can see. That is what the spiritual master does. Helps illuminate what is right, what is wrong. Who are we? What is happening? Right? And this gratitude we must have, is it must be extraordinary. Because what the spiritual master is doing is giving us the means to cross over this vast ocean. You know, and what kind of gratitude we can have. You know, we can imagine a life where we were born blind, you know, and we've never been able to see the beauty of the world, never been able to see the vibrant colors of various flowers, never able to see the beauty of oceans and beaches and mountains and landscapes, you know, never seeing the smile of your own child. Heck, never even being able to see what you look like. You know, we would be missing and lamenting so much. And if one day a doctor came and applied some ointment to our eyes, and immediately we could see everything that we had been missing our whole life, would a day pass in which we would not be extremely grateful to that doctor for giving us the ability to see? Well, it never happened. But the spiritual master has given us the ability to see well beyond these material things and to see to the ultimate spiritual truth. But do we have that same sense of gratitude and appreciation that the blind person would have for the doctor who has given them the ability to see? We can imagine, you know, where we would be were it not for Srila Prabhupada. You know, what, how would we know about the potency of the holy name and how powerful this Maha Mantra is? You know, topics such as the soul, you know, that he has so beautifully described, this very subtle topic. How we would even know about the soul or the spiritual planets or the fact that there's even variety in the spiritual planets. You know, the glories of Sri Vrindavan Dham, Sri Mayapur Dham, the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you know, the Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charit, all of this, you know, Srila Prabhupada has given us. And becoming immersed in all of it, sometimes we forget how we came to know, you know, how we came to know the glories of Kartik. You know, until we came to the teaching in Shalatala Srila Prabhupada, did we know how potent this month is, how deep this pastime of Lord Damodar, you know, the importance of observing Govardhan Puja and all these different things. You know, it came from Srila Prabhupada opening our eyes to all of it. So like that blind man, you know, we can have extreme gratitude. And here, the citizens here are expressing, you know, very nicely and an example for us, this gratitude. So wanted to discuss, you know, how devotees have been saved by the mercy of Guru and how they have opened their eyes. They're very, very instructive. You know, we hear this story of Magrari the hunter. He was killing in a very heinous way based on what he knew, based on how he had been taught, for the purpose of maintaining his livelihood. But when Narada Muni instructed him, opening his eyes to the fate that he was creating for himself, he immediately was able to transform his life. He surrendered. And so, you know, that moment's association with the spiritual master under the arrangement of the Supreme Lord saved him from so much future suffering, unlimited future suffering, we can say. This is the potency of the association of the spiritual master. How one who has fallen so far into darkness, you know, half killing these animals, can be uplifted almost instantly by good association. So we see the power of the spiritual master. It doesn't matter how fallen we may be, we can be uplifted very, very nicely. Another pastime I wanted to share about this upliftment. You know, Magrari the hunter was in a very fallen condition. But sometimes we may perceive ourselves to be in a very elevated position, yet be far off track. And the merciful spiritual master can open our eyes to the real truth. We may actually be convinced we know the truth, but actually, by the mercy of the spiritual master, we can, you know, see the real truth. But we must approach the spiritual master in this humble mood. And so in this pastime of Narottam Das Thakur, in delivering Ramakrishna and Harinam, it's a very extraordinary pastime. And in honor of his disappearance day just coming, I thought I would share this pastime again to illustrate this topic of opening the eyes. So these two boys, Ramakrishna and Harinam, they were walking along the road and they were herding some sheep and goat. And Narottam Das Thakur and Ramchandra Kaviraj, they were walking to take their bath and they saw these two boys. And Narottam Das Thakur asked the young boys, "Hey, are you making your life successful by chanting the holy names?" And these boys, Ramakrishna and Harinam, they were struck by the beauty of Narottam Das Thakur and Ramchandra Kaviraj, and they were struck by the sweet words. And so they went and approached them, offered obeisances. They were in a very humble mood. And they explained that, you know, they were sons a great zamindar, Shivanandacharya, great Brahmana family, and that their names are Harinam and Ramakrishna. You can see how beautiful their names are even. Certainly they must have come from some very illustrious family to be named Harinam and Ramakrishna. But as we know, they were very misguided because they were taking those sheep and goats to be sacrificed. Their father, Shivanandacharya, was conducting a very great Durga sacrifice. And so he had sent his two boys out to collect these sheep and goats to be brought to their home for this sacrifice. And so they were following the instructions of their father, thinking, them, doing some great religious sacrifice, were born in this very, a pious Brahmana family. So according to their understanding, they were on the right track. But because they approached Narottam Das Thakur in this very humble mood, he then began to preach to them. And this is a critical importance. Just being in the association of the spiritual master is not sufficient. One must bring about this very humble mood. And because they approached very humbly, then Narottam Das Thakur began to explain to them. And he corrected them very lovingly. He gave a detailed Bhagavatam class. And the boys were immediately convinced. So to take advantage of this, we must present ourselves. Otherwise, why guru should speak? If the disciple approaches having known everything, then what is the point of guru speaking? And so I wanted to read a very nice explanation of this that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu does in the purport. I like to read this this purport anytime I may have the opportunity to be in association of the spiritual master, because it's a very instructive purport. But the verse, this is from Adi Lila, chapter 7, verse 71 and 72. It is when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had reached Varanasi and he had been invited into the assembly of Prakashananda Saraswati and all the Mayavad sannyasis. And they had seated him in the middle of the room after he had initially taken a seat in a very unclean place, and he had, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had manifested his very luminous form, and everybody was struck. And Prakashananda Saraswati is inquiring from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, why is it that you're performing this kirtan and you're engaging with fanatics? You're a sannyasi. The activity of a sannyasi is to study Vedanta. You should spend your time day and night studying Vedanta, not this sentimental chanting. And so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replies in a very instructive way. I'll just read the verse 71 and 72 and then a couple of the paragraphs of the purport. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied to Prakashananda Saraswati, "My dear sir, kindly hear the reason. My spiritual master considered me a fool, and therefore he chastised me." Text 72. "You are a fool," he said. "You are not qualified to study Vedanta philosophy, and therefore you must always chant the holy names of Krishna. This is the essence of all mantra." And of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is speaking in some reverse logic here. Of course, he is not a fool. But in this purport, there's some great commentary Srila Prabhupada presents about how a disciple can approach the spiritual master. And we see how Ramakrishna and Harinam approached Narottam Das Thakur and Ramchandra Kaviraj. Because of this mood, they then received the great benediction of having their eyes open to the real truth, though they thought they were on the right path. So in the purport, the first paragraph reads, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj comments in this connection, "One can become perfectly successful in the mission of his life if he acts exactly according to the words he hears from the mouth of the spiritual master." End quote. This acceptance of the words of the spiritual master is called Shauta Vakya, which indicates that the disciple must carry out the spiritual master's instructions without deviation. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur remarks in this connection that a disciple must accept the words of a spiritual master as his life and soul. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu confirms this by saying that since his spiritual master ordered him only to chant the holy names of Krishna, he always chanted the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra according to his direction. I'm going to skip forward a couple of paragraphs and just read this one more paragraph. Only fools give up the service of the spiritual master and think themselves advanced in spiritual knowledge. In order to check such fools, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself presented a perfect example of how to be a disciple. A spiritual master knows very well how to engage each disciple in a particular duty. But if a disciple, thinking himself more advanced than the spiritual master, gives up his orders and acts independently, he checks his own spiritual progress. Every disciple must consider himself completely unaware of the science of Krishna and must always be ready to carry out the orders of the spiritual master to become competent in Krishna consciousness. A disciple should always remain a fool before his spiritual master. Therefore, sometimes pseudo-spiritualists accept a spiritual master who is not even fit to become a disciple because they want to keep him under their control. This is useless for spiritual realization. A very, very powerful. Yeah, I love the sentence. A disciple should always remain a fool before his spiritual master. Again, this is Adi Lila chapter 7, verse 71 and 72. We see the mood of how to take full advantage of the association of a spiritual master. Because this is certainly the key. And so Ramakrishna and Harinam, again, approaching in this mood, we're blessed with the mercy of Narottam Das Thakur. And this story helps us understand how we can have an immediate effect of being able to cross over these oceans. Because again, these boys were born in a Brahmin family, right? They were thinking they were on the right path of spiritual practices. But in fact, they were committing huge mistakes and they were going to be doomed. But the spiritual master, Narottam Das Thakur, opened their eyes to this truth. And because of their humility and the potency of Narottam Das Thakur, this transformation occurred very quickly. Unwriting their entire upbringing, everything that they had understood, they had been able to give up. These boys immediately released the sheep and goats, and they followed Narottam Das Thakur and Ramchandra Kaviraj to the temple. And they continued to hear, and this went on for several days. They took initiation. Ramakrishna took initiation from Narottam Das Thakur, and Harinam took initiation from Ramchandra Kaviraj. And after several days, their father became very worried and upset. Where were the sheep and goats? And where are my sons? He finally took note that they were in Keturi. And these two boys, they went home. And when they went home, they went with shaved heads, Vaishnava tilak marked on their whole body. And Shivananda Acharya was extraordinarily upset, you know, because coming from a Brahmana family, he was, how you could take initiation from Narottam Das Thakur? He was a Kayastha. And already his reputation had been building for having given an initiation to, you know, different Brahmanas, and the smarta Brahmanas were quite upset. And so the boys was quite brave, and actually his father arranged one, you know, a great pundit, Murari, to come from Mithila and try to defeat these two boys on the superiority of Brahmanas over Vaishnavas. But these two boys, having been instructed very nicely by Narottam Das Thakur and Ramchandra Kaviraj, smashed to pieces this great pundit and established the supremacy of Vaishnavism over Brahmanas. So again, the story continues, and we see that how this mood of Ramchandra Acharya specifically, that he became one of the most prominent disciples of Narottam Das Thakur. When Narottam Das Thakur was leaving this world, you know, he went and entered into the Ganga, and he had called all the disciples and associates to be chanting the holy names. And he instructed two of his very dear disciples, Ganga Narayan Chakravarti and this Ramchandra Acharya, Ramakrishna Acharya, excuse me, to bathe him with the Ganges water. And as they began to bathe him, his body began to melt away. It transformed into milk, into the Ganga. And that's how he left this world. So from, you know, a boy herding sheep and goats under the instruction of his father, by the mercy of the spiritual master, approaching in the mood of humility, he was able to immediately see the real path of spiritual success and undo everything that he had learned before. Actually, this is the hardest part. You know, sometimes when we come to spiritual life, if we have no background, it's easier. You know, it's like writing on a blank sheet of paper. But undoing all that we may have known and thought to be the truth sometimes can be very, very difficult. But if we approach a bona fide spiritual master in this very potent way, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has described, then we can make very, very rapid progress and cross over this ocean of material darkness. And when we have the ability to come in contact and have our eyes open, we should maintain every day, every moment, an extraordinary feeling of gratitude for having given the vision to see this reality. Sometimes, you know, after years of association, we lose this, you know, appreciation for what we have been given. And so by just recollecting, you know, what if I had not, it can remind us, you know, just like that blind man who would be so grateful to now see the world around, we should be that or more grateful that we have come in contact with Srila Prabhupada and Guru Parampara, so that we can get on the right path, utilize its human form, which is a very nice boat, put our hands in the capable control of the spiritual master, and cross over the ocean of material existence, and return home back to Godhead, and end this cycle that has been going on since time immemorial. So this is just some discussion on this 51st verse of the 4th canto, 21st chapter. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Ananta Koti Vaishnavinda ki. Any questions or comments, discussion, corrections, or clarifications?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanvat Pranam. Please accept my humble obeisances. Mm-hmm. Very nice, very wonderful, beautiful class. I mean, lecturian. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Dhanvat Pranam. Thank you very much, Mataji.
Yeah, Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanavad Pranam Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Prabhuji, one question, Prabhu. Like when before getting human body, we traverse to many other species of life, like you mentioned also, right, Prabhu? So we already suffer a lot, right, Prabhu, in all those species of life. Does our karma doesn't reduce, and don't we start with a fresh plate when we get the human form of life?
Yeah. So we are burning our karma through the different animal species of life, non-human, we can say, because there's no karma attributed to, you know, those lives. But we have some karma because the type of human birth we get also is not, they're not all the same, right? So some have a higher birth, some have a lower birth. And even within the human form, we know there are 400,000 different species of human form. So there's some starting point, but then in that human form, by every activity we do, if we are not performing action according to the instruction of the Supreme Lord, then there is a new karma being created, more karma being added. So that's what is transpiring. And until we know how to work without creating reactions.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much, Prabhu.
Yeah.
And thanks for describing Narottam Das Thakur's pastimes. Thank you, Prabhuji.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Yeah, Prabhu, so you beautifully described the Narottam Das Thakur's pastime. So, Prabhu, it's very difficult to perceive that just in one meeting, Ram Krishna and Harinam, like they got the mercy immediately, like they understood the philosophy and accepted Narottam Das Thakur as their spiritual master. Like sometimes, like we meet so many very good like sannyasis, and like we got so much inspired, but still after so many meetings, like the transformation of heart doesn't happen. So is it like our really bad karma that is stopping us?
It is not our bad karma, it is our ego. If we have not yet approached the spiritual master with the conviction that nothing but spiritual life can give me success, and only the spiritual master can guide me in devotional service. That takes great humility, right? To put our hands in the life of the spiritual master takes, you know, extraordinary realization and humility. So these two boys were able to become transformed. They may not have understood everything immediately, but they understood that Narottam Das Thakur and Ramchandra Kaviraj were capable to guide them on the process. They had full conviction in that. And so because of that, they remained in association and they surrendered immediately. So our surrender, it can happen in an instant or it can take lifetimes based on, you know, our own conditioning. Have we understood the reality, right, of what is there? And then, you know, we see this not only in Narottam Das Thakur's time, in Srila Prabhupada's time, you know, simply walking by the Harinam in New York City, you know, when the devotee became attracted and the next day joined the movement. Right? This is the potency of Srila Prabhupada, of the guru, and the mood of the disciple. So if we think we know, then when we interact with the guru, we'll not yield the benefit, right? It's just like if I go to class in university and I think I know everything, then what it is I can actually learn, right? I've already closed my mind to what is being taught, right? So we have to have conviction and also the humility to remember that, you know, only the spiritual master can guide our life to success. And there are some material attachments and some reservations and some doubts and other things that also, you know, creep in that create some of our hesitations. But ultimately it is this, you know, this sense of independence, which is false, our ahankara, our false ego, that precludes us from surrendering. So if that is happening with us, we pray to Krishna. Krishna, help me smash this ahankara. I know in principle this is the thing to do, but it's not manifesting in my heart. Please help it manifest. We should pray to him that way. And then he'll help us you know, come to this right mood. And read this section of Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's very, very, very instructive and very, very sweet for us. Again, that's chapter 7, Adi Lila.
Okay, thank you, Prabhu. I will definitely, earnestly now start praying to Krishna about this.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Yeah, Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. What is your name, Prabhu?
Nitya Krishna.
No. The Prabhu asked question.
Oh, Mataji, I am Manish.
Manish.
Where are you from, Prabhuji?
Yeah, Mataji, I am from Nashville, Tennessee.
Okay, thank you for joining the call, Prabhuji, and please join every day. Are you on the WhatsApp group?
Yes, Mataji.
Yeah. Yes, Mataji.
Yeah, thank you, Prabhu, for joining.
Thank you for arranging this. This is very, very helpful.
Very, very helpful.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Wow, you're very, very beautiful class today. It had a lot of nice pastimes. You did talk about Narottam Das Thakur and several other examples. It was very relevant to us. I did have one question. Prabhuji, what are the 400,000 species of human form? Can you please explain that again?
Yeah. So the 400,000 human species that we have, you know, from Lord Brahma is within that species, all the different devatas, to then, you know, the different human bodies that exist in the different higher planetary systems, then what we see around us in Vorlok, and even within this planet we see different gradations of humans from very civilized to uncivilized, and then as we go down to the lower planetary systems, you know, we see different types of human bodies. So it is not just one species, but it is from, you know, the great, great personalities to some of the more fallen, all within the human form. They make up the variety of these 400,000 species of human form.
Well, thank you so much, Prabhuji.
Thank you.
Does anyone else have any questions?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, very beautiful class. Thank you so much, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
Well, if no one has any more questions, we can go ahead and end the call. Thank you very much, Prabhuji, for your very enlightening class today. We are very grateful for your association, and we look forward to more classes in the future. We can end the call by saying the Vaishnava prayers. Vancha kalpatarubhyascha vipasindubhyascha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah.
Granthrajji
Srila Prabhupada ki jai. His Grace Nitya Krishna Prabhuji ki jai. Thank you so much, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.